All right, we're going to get to the bottom of this frustrating story that drives me insane. All week long, we've been talking about the fuel economy deal that is apparently going to be made between the White House and automakers, domestic automakers, that will increase the fuel efficiency of the fleet of cars in the United States by the year 2025. The number that they're kicking around is 54.5 miles to the gallon. But what car will get that? How is the average calculated? The so-called CAFE standards, what's it all about? Paul Eisenstein is here, publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, John.
And Ian Pearson is also here, author of You Tomorrow. He's a futurist with the British consulting firm Futurizen. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
I gather as a futurist, the number 54.5 miles to the gallon doesn't really, you know, knock your socks off too much.
It doesn't really. I think it's entirely achievable. I mean, I'm looking all the time at developments in the automobile industry, and we're seeing improved efficiency of the conventional technology, but we're also seeing it move towards electronic drive, where the cars can be just one inch apart on the highway, so you reduce drag enormously. If they're driven electronically, you're going to get far fewer accidents, therefore they can be much lighter construction and so on. So with the savings in weight plus the savings in aerodynamic drag, you could really improve fuel economy quite a lot. I don't think that 54.5 miles per gallon is very difficult to achieve. My car gets 43 just with conventional technology.
Well, Ian Pearson there, the futurists who, you know, you would think are focused more on transporter technology than actual cars at this point. But we'll come back to you in a moment, Ian. Hold on right there. Paul Eisenstein, how is this average calculated? It seems to me with the proliferation of electric cars that automakers can play some games with how this average is calculated. By 2025, 54.5 miles per gallon will be a vehicle where? Is it going to be a truck? Is it going to be a something like a Chevy Volt? Is it an electric car? Is it a gas car?
Well, John, I wish I could give you a clear answer on that. Unfortunately, we really don't know. Despite the favors that futurists play give towards electric technology, saying that, you know, we have all of this great Star Trek technology, the fact is right now electric technology is not really very good, and we really are placing a lot of hope on invention, that something will come along. Now, on the positive side, we have seen some significant invention when it comes to the conventional gasoline engine. I had somebody from Nissan recently remark to me that we're much better off than we were a decade ago, or would have even imagined we'd be a decade ago. Things like direct injection, 8-speed transmissions, and so on. But he also cautioned that trying to come up with the ideas that will take us to the next step is a very, very difficult thing. Electric power, you have to remember, using the best batteries on the market today, the best batteries, you can put about 1% as much energy by weight into a battery as you can into the same amount of gasoline.
Right. All right. So how do they calculate this 54.5 miles to the gallon? There's no such thing as an average American car. Are you basically taking the highest fuel economy and dividing it by the lowest fuel economy truck?
Well, it's actually a much more complicated number than what it really sounds like. It requires all sorts of testing. There's trade-offs so that when you have, for example, a vehicle running on natural gas or able to use ethanol, not that it actually will ever use ethanol, you get credits and so on. Batteries will give you credits. So the reality is it may say 54 or 56 miles a gallon, but the average vehicle will probably get significantly less.
So, Ian Pearson, what do you make of this strategy in the United States of focusing on a CAFE average, as complicated as Paul Eisenstein has suggested, as the gauge for efficiency? Should we be looking at something else?
I'm not very sure you should really average across all the vehicle types. I think Paul's absolutely right. I mean, sometimes you need a big vehicle. Sometimes you're quite happy with a small one. If you're looking at something you're just going to commute to work with or something you're going to go to the shops, the supermarket, you really can do with something which is very lightweight, which is electronically driven. Sometimes you need something which is a utility vehicle. You need something which is more custom-made with a much bigger engine. Of course, you're not going to get the same fuel economy economy from that. But I think the really key thing that's happening here is we're not just talking about improving the efficiency of engines in conventional cars. We're talking about, in the same time frame, by 2025, Google have already been experimenting with driving cars around San Francisco all by themselves with just a passenger in there just to make sure that the AI systems work properly. We will be driving a lot of these self-driven cars by 2025.
Ian Pearson,
you can reduce the drag.
Let's describe how that system would work. Google has experimented, and you say AI, it's artificial intelligence technology that allows individuals to be in cars that are driven essentially by the web. Would this be a system that you would use for predominantly urban transport, where you'd convert all the fleet inside a city into these self-driving cars?
I think that's certainly where you're going to get the biggest gains. I mean, in the cities, you've got a bigger incentive to do so. You're not going to go very fast anyway. You really need to reduce congestion. The best way to do that is to have computers driving your car so you can drive just inches apart from the car in front and behind, and you can also get more lanes on the same road. If the computers do it, they're reacting within microseconds, whereas people take thousands of times longer for them to react. So it's much better to have computer drive. And in cities as well, you know, when you've got to your destination, you have to worry about what you're going to do with the car. Do you find a parking lot? You don't need to worry about that if the car's electronic. It can go off and find somebody else and
take them
to work or take them to the store.
Which, of course, speaks to the huge cultural issue. Ian Pearson there is the author of You Tomorrow. He's a futurist with the British consulting firm Futurizen. Paul Eisenstein, before we go, what are the technological limitations to fuel efficiency as long as we stick with the idea of personal transportation? It's your car. You get to take it. You get to park it. You have to pay for it.
Well, that's a key issue. We see personal transportation as part of what freedom is all about. People want to have the sort of cars that they like. You're going to see some people that say they need, never mind want, high-performance sports cars and big pickup trucks and the like. Do we want to get to the point where we drive people down into the smallest, most efficient vehicles, saying that's what you have to have because fuel efficiency trumps all?
Paul Eisenstein, publisher and editor of the DetroitBureau.com. On the new fuel efficiency standards, the White House will announce 54.5 miles to the gallon, an average for the fleet by the year 2025. Thanks, Paul.
Good to be with you.